Today's scripture reading will be from Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 7 to chapter 12, verse 8. If you would please rise for the reading of God's word. And that can be found on the Pew Bible on page 559. Ecclesiastes 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in all of them. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for the youth and draw of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dim and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and the one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high and terror are in the way. The almond trees blossom, the grasshopper drags itself along. The desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word and now the preaching. You may be seated.
Thank you, Todd. If you were able to see, during the children's lesson, a couple of the kids had some glasses on and they said, Happy New Year. Well, this is the time of year where we plan to make some sort of change for the year to come. And we call these changes New Year's resolutions. Well, at 19 years old, Jonathan Edwards wrote down 70 resolutions, and I wanted to read you one of them because it's fitting for our passage today. Resolution number 7, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Edwards, at that young age, understood something that we will see today. Your life is short, and so your death is near. Judgment is certain, and eternity awaits. So then, what you do right now, where God has you, matters. This is a very weighty reality that our text presents to us. And in light of it, we need to ask ourselves, how then should I live? Well, in our passage today, Solomon answers this question, and we will be looking at this under two parts. The first part is his advice, which is rejoice and remember. And then the second part is a reflection on life. So look with me at verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. The first time that we encounter light in the Bible is in Genesis 1. You know how it goes. In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth, and there's darkness over the face of the deep. And then God speaks, and he says, let there be light. And God sees the light, and God saw that the light was good. So Solomon here is making a simple point. Light, which God has created, is good for us to see. What's the point? every day you live, you get to experience the light that God has made. So if you live many years, you get to experience this in the fullness. So he says, rejoice in that. Because not everyone in this room will get to live a full life. Look at the beginning of verse 8. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. A long life is not promised. Tomorrow isn't promised. So if you are what we call a seasoned saint, Solomon is specifically talking to you. He's saying, and as an old man here writing this, he's saying, you've gotten to live a full life. And I've spoken with many of you, and I'm sure you could spend hours sharing stories of how you experienced God's grace through your whole life. And so his advice here is simple. Be grateful for the long life God has given you, because it's not promised. That is what we are to rejoice in. And then there's something to remember. He says, but remember, the days of darkness will be many. So we have this contrast now between light and darkness. So since light is sweet, darkness is bitter. And what Solomon here is doing is, he is preparing you for what is ahead. And he's saying that there is a bitterness to it. He's presenting us with the harsh reality of aging. The older you get, the more difficult the days become. More sickness, more discomfort, more aches and pains for seemingly no reason other than your age. And we'll look at this in more detail in the second part. He then concludes with this phrase, all that comes is vanity. And we see this word repeated after every main point in our text. So what does it mean, vanity? Well, we should associate it with the idea of this, that this life and everything in it is passing. James explains this well in chapter 4, verse 14. For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Old age is here and then it's gone. Solomon then changes his attention from seasoned saints to the youth. Beginning of verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. It is great to be young, isn't it? You have energy, you're growing, you're getting stronger, hopefully smarter. You can play sports, you can do all-nighters. So he says, rejoice in being young. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. What does that look like? He's saying, enjoy your life to the fullest while you're young. Here, let me give you an example here. This upcoming year, when we go to summer assembly, you are not going to see Mr. Popjoy belly flop into the pool off the diving board. We saw Matt do it, but you're not going to see Mr. Popjoy do it. There are morally and acceptable and good things you can do right now that you're not going to be able to do when you're 70 years old. Rejoice in your youth. Enjoy being young. And then he says this, but know this, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And that's for all of us to remember, isn't it? God will bring you into judgment. Every secret thing, every hidden thing, every forgotten deed, every evil thought, God will bring everything into judgment. And he is perfect, and he sees it all, and he won't forget. Now, this thought can be terrifying, but I want us to see it as a blessing, because knowing that there's a judgment should keep us on the right path. I see this point here, they're like lines in the road. You don't want to go over one line, you don't want to go over the other. It keeps you on the proper path. It keeps you on track. It keeps us from sin. So remind yourself of this truth, that one day, there most certainly will be a judgment. He goes on, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. When you're younger, there are two temptations I want to highlight, and these temptations we always have. The first one is this, to worry and concern yourself about the future and things like education, job, where will I live, and many other concerns. Don't overwhelm yourself with these things. As our Lord said, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The second temptation is this. There is a temptation to rush through the present. Last week, I was talking with Mr. Glass, and I asked Tim Glass, and I asked him for a prayer request. And he jokingly said that June 11th would come sooner, because that's the end of, Mr. Glass is a principal, and that's the end of the school year. So that June 11th would come sooner. He was joking when he said it, but that's how we think, isn't it? You know, if I can just graduate high school, if I can just get this job, if I can just make it through this day, if I can just make it to Friday. I was thinking of my own self, driving through traffic. Who among us wants to sit in traffic and just wait there when you're going somewhere? No one. What Solomon here is saying is this. Rejoice and enjoy where God has you now. Don't wish it all away. And he again comes to the same conclusion that he did in verse 8. He says, youth and the dawn of life are vanity. It's all going to pass away. So you guys who are young now, if the Lord wills, you'll be in Charlie's shoes not too long. And you who are old, and you're probably thankful for this, you won't stay old forever. All of it is vanity. It's all passing away. Psalm 90, verse 10. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Do not wish away where God has you right now, because your time is short. And with every breath and every passing minute, you are in closer to death. And then comes the judgment. And so Solomon tells us in verse 1 of chapter 12, remember your Creator. It's easy to be distracted by all the things that are going on around you and by things that we want to do. So he says, he's talking to the young man, and he says, remember your Creator. That is, live a God-filled life and have your eyes fixed on him. Sarah, thank you for your testimony earlier, because we have a fundamental point of application here from that. You were told to remember your Creator, and we do that by ensuring his word is on our minds continually. Read your Bible. Remember your Creator. And notice here in our text, Solomon doesn't say, remember God. He says Creator, and that's intentional, because there's an implication with that. You have been created by him, and so for him. So the conclusion is very logical. Remember him, because one day, you will be brought into judgment by him. Now, if we spend even a moment of self-reflection, we see our failure in obeying these. We get caught up in our own lives, don't we? And forget our Creator. We don't remember him as we should. And we are all guilty of not rejoicing. We complain. We hold grudges. We act out in anger. We are slow to forgive. We are not thankful as we should be. We can often be entitled and feel sorry for ourselves. We see our sin here. And that is why we rejoice and remember our Lord. Because where we fall, he rises up. Where we transgress, he obeyed. And he obeyed to the point of death on a cross. So that when judgment comes, we who trust in him will be spared. And now we have the second part here, which is a reflection on life. And the flow of this next section shows us the cycle of life. It goes quickly. Youth in verse 1, aging 2 through 4, dying 5 through 6, and then death in verse 7. Do you see how quickly life goes? Youth passes quickly, you get old, and old age is gone like that. And Solomon here describes to us what it's like being old. He's an old man writing this. And he says, there's not pleasures in the days like there once was in verse 1. Look at verse 2. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. All light is darkened. The clouds return after rain. There is trouble after trouble. Look at verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. Your arms start shaking. You don't have all of your teeth. Your legs are weak. You can't see, which makes, Pauline, it makes sense why you don't love driving at night. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. Many of us will, if the Lord wills, many of us will encounter all these struggles. Look at verse 4. And the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought very low. You can't sleep well, and yet somehow when the birds are singing, you wake up at it. You wake up before the sun is even out. My dad's probably listening. My dad will get up at like 4:30 in the morning for no reason other than he's aging and he's getting old. And that's what happens. It's how life goes. Look at verse 5. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. You have to be careful around heights. It's not fun anymore walking on ice, because falling down is a dangerous thing. You don't take risks like you used to, and you get white hair or perhaps no hair at all. You are weaker. You are weaker each day and more fragile than you used to be. What's happening? Solomon's telling us, man is going to his eternal home. And as an eternal home, there isn't moving locations once you get there. And if you are not in Christ, if you do not believe in him, this thought should terrify you, because you will be judged according to what you have done. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Your time is running out, and your death is near. But as you live, you do have hope. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Spurgeon, preaching on this text, said this: some of my hearers who listened to me last year and in the years that are past are now in hell, now where no hope can come, now where no gospel shall ever be preached, now where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. So as you sit here or watch from the live stream, now is the time to call upon the Lord. Now is the time to repent and believe in the gospel. And it will be of no help to you to wait, because you do not have tomorrow. All you have is this moment. Now is the time to turn to Christ, and he will take you in. For those of us who do believe, going home, like we heard with the children's lesson, going home isn't so bad, is it? You don't have to worry about flooding in your basement, or someone breaking in, or having to make a payment, or a messy room. You don't have to worry about kids drawing on the walls, or the neighborhood becoming dangerous, or outdated furniture. The home is good, because it has been prepared for by Christ himself. Our eternal home is in heaven, in paradise. And so we look forward to the day where we will be there. But as we look at those around us, we don't look forward to the day where they're going to leave, do we? Like, I don't think Becca woke up this morning and thought, I'm looking forward to the day where Pastor Ben will go from this life to the next. Hopefully not. We don't look forward to that day, do we? Where those that we love and cherish will pass away. So Solomon says, the mourners go about the streets. It's sad and it hurts to have someone you love go home, isn't it? And our own experience confirms this. Look at verse 6. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. There's no way around that, is there? There is great pain in losing someone you love, and it cannot be avoided. And we do a lot of things in attempt to stay young, but to no avail. And that's okay, because as the psalmist says, my flesh and my heart may fail, and surely one day it will, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So embrace that reality that your death is near, because God is yours now and forevermore. March 29th, 1788, Charles Wesley, famous hymn writer, laid on his bed sick and weak to the point where he couldn't even write anymore. And so he calls his wife into the room and asked her to write one final hymn. And I'm convinced that this verse I just read from the Psalms was on his mind. Here's how the hymn goes. In age and feebleness extreme, who shall a helpless worm redeem? Jesus, my only hope thou art, strength of my failing flesh and heart. Oh, could I catch one smile from thee and drop into eternity. And as he held his daughter's hand, he breathed his last. And she writes in it that it was a bitter moment for her, but that it was a sweet and happy moment for him. He knew his time was running out and that death was within hours. But he wasn't afraid. He wasn't worried about it because he knew he was going home and he was looking forward to it. Our time is running out. Death is almost at the door. Our days are numbered. And our death has been appointed by our Creator who has given us life. And then comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as it is appointed for man to die once, and then after that, the judgment. So what you do with the little time that you have here matters. And it matters that you use it for him. Now, some of you considering death may ask, why does it have to be this way? It's painful. Why does it have to be this way? Solomon answers that. Look at verse 7. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. He is hinting back at Genesis 3:19. Man sinned, and this sin brought on the curse. And God says to Adam, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And the dust returns to the earth as it was. The reason why it must be this way is because of the curse, which was brought about by sin. And so our bodies return to the ground for some time. I want us to see here a contrast between the sinner and the Savior. Our sin, what we do, brings about death. Christ's death, that is what he has done, brings about life to those who believe in him. And so we who believe in him, as Corinthians says, would rather be away from the body because then we're with the Lord. To depart and be with Christ is far better, Paul says. And then we have this closing in verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Charles Bridges states this. He, that is Solomon, took an inventory of the world and all the best things in it. He cast up the account, and the sum total is vanity. The best and most long-lasting things that this world has to offer will come to an end. So enjoy it, but do not live for it, because to live for this world and the things of this world is vanity. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Pastor Ben read it in her first scripture reading. I'm going to read it as a closing point of application for us here. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 10. So, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Your life is short, and so your death is near. Judgment is certain and eternity awaits. Remember this. Make it your aim to please him and to remember him. And remember what lies ahead. And lastly, rejoice where God has you now. All right, let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the life that you have given us. And Lord, as we spend a moment in reflection on our own lives, we see how we have fallen short. And Lord, our life is too short to be wasting it. The days are evil. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us the wisdom to make the best use of our time, that we would remember what is ahead. And while remembering what is ahead, that we would rejoice right now where you have us. Lord, you are good and you are faithful, and we thank you for sending your Son so that we who have fallen short may be clothed in the righteousness of your Son and so found innocent on the day of judgment. And it's in your name that we pray this. Amen.